Welcome back to The Glam Chemist. This is your host, Genesis Velasquez. I see a lot more listeners and a lot more subscribers. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I'm coming to you with another episode from our guest, Esmer Harris of the Chemically Divine Lab. In this conversation, we discuss pivoting in careers, opportunities in contract and temporary work. We talk about running a business and becoming an entrepreneur. Essentially, we talk about absolutely everything. And I had a wonderful time connecting with Esmer. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thank you for joining me on The Glam Chemist. I am a big follower of your content, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are. So I want to introduce you all to Esmer Harris. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, we have a listener base that's actually really familiar with your content already. I was actually recommended to start following your content from some of the folks you've had on the podcast. So it's actually really cool to connect with other
fans. Oh, really?
Yeah. Rachel from The Charismatic Chemist, your Instagram. And then that's when I was like, oh, this is so much fun. Like, I love your content and it's super entertaining.
Thank you. And educating. Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I've been having the hardest time coming up with content that is like digestible, not too like over the head. And so that's definitely been something that I've been working on. And in the future, I plan to get even better with, be more consistent at, but that's great to hear.
No, yours is super entertaining. And even like the fact that you've incorporated your move and your transition in the industry, like to our listeners, definitely check out the Chemically Divine Lab so you can see how Esmer actually went from doing her consultation business to also kind of moving up in the industry, because I've found it really encouraging to see that, you know, you were willing to move around and see your different opportunities and kind of take the leap. Because it's been super inspiring for me. And we'll talk about that a little bit more for our listeners too, because I think that's so scary in our industry to take a risk.
It's a huge risk. I'm living it right now and I'm like, every 5 seconds. So
yeah,
definitely a risk. And for me, it was more beneficial to make for my company and the growth within that. So that's really what kind of catapulted that, I guess, experience or journey. I was kind of not enjoying my work environment in Tennessee. And there's almost little to none, no jobs in cosmetics in Tennessee, especially in Memphis, where I was at that moment. I mean, I've always known I would have to get out of Tennessee. And I kind of just wanted to make sure that I was in a position to do that. And I was. Now I'm here in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, working for one of the largest contract manufacturing companies for some of our, you know, large retail stores like Victoria's Secret and Bath and Body Works.
Awesome.
And many more. And so that has definitely been a journey. It's been a very stressful, very, very stressful journey. This is first time. Well, not first time. This is my second time since college being completely on my own. But now the stakes are a little higher because I'm a little farther away from home. And to be doing it for a job is crazy because, you know, sometimes, you know, the work environment and the industry isn't always stable. You know, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're coming into sometimes. And to do that, you know, 9 or 10, 12 hours away from home, it's definitely been a experience.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot of things with you because obviously this is our first conversation to you and our introductory to our listeners, but I think that you've done it with so much grace and it is really difficult, especially for folks just like given the experience we've had, or even just wanting other opportunities. Like our industry isn't that easy to crack into, and finding opportunities is really hard. Enjoying opportunities is really hard. I totally understand that, like, you know, finding your happy place in this industry is really difficult, but I think it's totally admirable of you to be like, I wasn't loving my situation in Tennessee. I started doing this, you know, thing on the side, thank God. But then, you know, taking that leap for your career and to expand your opportunities in this space is something that like a lot of people have to do sometimes. They have to uproot their lives for this industry because it's such a small base and it's really located in very, very specific places in the nation. And so like some of our listeners are like undergrads either seeking opportunities in cosmetic science. And like, I try to explain to them too, like, you're going to have to really reach out to those folks and even just consider the opportunity, even if it's like an internship or some sort of contract work, because it's a bit of a exchange. Like, yeah, you won't be close to your home for maybe a few months for the contract, but then you tap into this part of the industry that gives you like an abundance of opportunity later. So it's like, there's a bit of a payoff there, but getting in those doors is a lot of freaking work.
And honestly, that getting into the industry is what started my business. I knew that I was coming out of college and I had lab experience, of course, at that time when I started the business, but I didn't have the type of lab experience that I necessarily would want to work in long term or anything that necessarily drove my passion, you know, in science. So finding that was pretty hard, and I stumbled. I'm not even gonna lie. So in high school, I had a science teacher, shout out to Miss Holt Gray. And I kind of just was having a conversation right before graduation. I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Well, I think this is more like the beginning of my 12th grade year. Like, I don't know what I want to go to school for. I know I have to get out of this community. Like, I know I have to go and be somebody, but I don't know what I want to do. Like, I don't know what I like. And she asked me this simple question. And it's crazy that she asked me this. She's like, what do you watch? What do you do in your spare time? What do you watch on TV? What are your interests? And at that time, I was a real big fan of CSI. I was a real big fan of figuring out a mystery and solving a problem or investigation. So she said, you know what? Forensic science sounds like your thing. And I had went to, we had had a project or some type of after school event where she set up a crime scene, and we got to kind of try to figure out what happened and problem solve and things like that. So that's what I did. It's so simple, but that's what I did. So I went to school for forensic science, and I decided upon getting out that I didn't necessarily fit in that type of work environment. And also it was pretty difficult for me to get into that field coming out of college. And in Tennessee, I don't know if everybody knows, is a big manufacturing, like factory. That's the mainstream in the South. So upon getting out of school, my actual first lab job was actually in a pet diagnostic lab where I was taking poop and pee and like tumors from pets and, you know, any type of animal all over the world. I was getting pee on me all day and smelling poop and like putting labels on. It was so simple, but that is how I started. And like, I would listen to older, you know, people who had been working for a while. I was like, you may hate your job now, but it's the baby steps, and the steps that you take have to be strategic to get you where you want to be. So that's where I started. I didn't like that. It was a midnight shift. I left. And then I kind of stumbled and fell into a couple other different positions until I fell into a position where I was working at a bar soap and kind of cosmetic preparation toiletry company. And I was working as a temporary consultant through a temporary agency, which is the best way to get into any industry, I would say. Absolutely loved waking up, going to work to make bar soaps. I worked mainly in the bar soap lab. So literally, this was my day. I wake up, go to work, and pick out, you know, the next project or bar soap that we were sending off to a customer or client that we were tweaking or in the process of tweaking. I would make that bar soap, you know, get to throw the oils, throw the fragrances in there, and mold, you know, literally they had a machine where it molds the soap and you just chop it and let it cool and make I'd never made a bar soap in my life. And so going home smelling like peppermints and flowers and things, I loved it.
Night and day compared to where you started.
Yeah. So I completely enjoyed it. It really didn't feel like work. It felt like a hobby. That job ended because, you know, even most of the times it's not the job itself, it's usually something else outside of the job. So that job ended and I took that job and I was like, you know what? I like working with cosmetics. Let me teach myself, you know, and that's actually how the job ended. I asked to be taught more and it didn't go well. So I started teaching myself. And upon teaching myself, I was like, you know what? You know, I want to have my own hair care, skincare line. So I went to this beauty conference called the Boss Conference with the Main Choices CEO as the leader of it. And it was a weekend trip. Throughout that conference, we learned about how to even start up a beauty business in general, what to think of, what to have in place, funding. We went through all these things and being in a room of people, women of color, it was amazing. And I think I stood up and asked a question and I was like, hey, at that time, I was still working in that position. Hey, I would like to do so-and-so. This is what I do for my job. Kind of pitching myself. And of course, I'm doing this in a room of women who want to start their businesses. So the fact that I even had a hands-in R&D at that time, they flocked to me. And I was already in the process of learning. So I was like, you know what? I don't mind formulating for you guys. And I made the business bulletproof, you know, made it official. And I started formulating from there and really just teaching myself and growing and reading and learning. And that's kind of how I got in. That's a long version I got into the industry. It's kind of quick, but yeah, it happened so quick. Literally, this has happened in the last 4 years, this process. So,
I mean, Oprah says it all the time. It's like preparation meets opportunity. So you were preparing for this opportunity and then you connected with folks and then you opened up that door. Like we mentioned earlier, it's really, really tough to start doing something on your own. And you're managing everything on your own. You're formulating your website, your social media, like you're doing superwoman over here. We're doing all our best. And even like Cindy J says that, you know, she does everything herself too. And she's doing her best too, but there is no one really there to guide us through this industry, especially as it's evolving that most folks are starting their own R&D options. Like we are the ones kind of creating that space right now for ourselves because we've had to. But like finding the resources is definitely really, really difficult. And finding the mentors is really, really difficult. Finding people that like are even willing to share information is a little bit difficult. That's why I like this community that we're developing so much too, because like I said earlier, you guys are so receptive to sharing information and dialogue. And so it's been really nice to find at least that, because even if we're all just figuring it out at the same time, we're like figuring it out together. Like I don't feel alone in it, but it's cool that like, I mean, everyone kind of stumbles into this industry, but it's cool that you were like, I'm going to do this myself. You took that entrepreneur spirit and took it in stride. And now you're sitting in your own lab, which is really exciting.
Yeah. It was mostly out of rebellion. I'm a rebellious soul. I've always been. It was out of rebellion at that job. Basically, I went to the supervisor and manager and I was like, hey, I love this. I want to learn more. And I got the opposite type of conversation that I was looking for and basically told me to teach myself. So I did that and I put a name on it and I kept doing that. If I'm going to teach myself, I'm going to put this money back into myself. If I'm going to invest in books and things, I'm going to put this back into myself and build something to where I can one day bring somebody in where, you know, there's this hungry graduate who wants to learn and they don't get pushed to the side like teach yourself. I'm not your professor, you know, like
it's also crazy to think that like it's not a singular experience and it's not a unique experience. We've all at some point pushed down and kind of put in our place. Which is ridiculous as adults and professionals in this space. But yeah, unfortunately, there are some folks in this space that I'll keep saying it aren't as inclusive and receptive to helping other folks get to higher positions or even provide education. And finding companies that are the ones that like host your education is a whole other thing. But like having our community is totally different because I'm always finding ways to be like, and you can go to this college and I recommend you talking to this professor. Like, I don't care. It doesn't take away from me to help someone else get to this place. Like, I love this industry. I want more of us in this industry. I don't care whether you're my boss or end up being, you know, the next CEO of L'Oreal. I want to see more of us here. So what does it cost me to share information with you? Like, I don't understand the ego part of our industry sometimes, because I've experienced a lot of egos.
I mean, the cosmetic industry started off as a predominantly white male industry, which is crazy that most of the people that were using these products were women, right?
Yeah, I mean, Revlon was a man making nail polish.
Yeah.
So, and red lipstick.
Yeah. So, of course, it would be the first idea that women, and especially women of color, would get into this industry and try to break some chains, you know, because we know what we look for. We're the ones buying it. We're the ones driving sales. So,
and I totally respect that, like, where you couldn't find the space, you created it. You know, mm-hmm. If you're not going to make room for me, I'm going to make room for myself. And yeah. I'm gonna make room for other women that look like me. So yeah. I think that's the wonderful part of the last 2-3 years, where I think we all really got a good perspective of our own value and mm-hmm. our own understanding, and as consumers, and how as R&D folks and folks with the understanding, it's like, it's up to us to create products and educate and provide education for folks that look like us and that are consumers of this. Like, it's mm-hmm. not fair that they've spent so much time promoting things to folks without even having one of us in the room for understanding. So the motivational part of it is like, if you're not going to include me or provide the education for me, or, you know, have me be part of the team, a collaborative part of the team, which is where I've always found myself lacking. Like, I feel like everywhere I've gone, I've had a good perspective, and because I'm not, I guess, senior enough, mm-hmm. I was always told, like, you know, kind of stay in your place, stay in your lane.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, okay. It's like the next trend was exactly what I, you know, because we have access to so much information mm-hmm. and we also are great consumers. So like, I can tell you it, with enough research, what the next wave and what the terrain and where everything is going. So if you miss that boat, don't get mad at me because you lost your money. If you're putting me in a corner, then, you know, you lost your opportunity, because our industry is constantly changing. And if you're not listening, if you didn't have someone like us in the room to define it for you, you would have already missed the opportunity. Like, that kind of thing is like crazy to me. Like, why are you listening to folks that you're predominantly creating products for? It, but that's a whole other podcast episode.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel that that's what drives me, because in my content creation, sometimes even I'm scared to put things out there because my opinion may not be everyone else's opinion. And what I know may not even be, you know, 100% agreed upon, you know, sometimes. So putting content out there, especially in the scientific nature and a factual type nature, is really stressful due to that fact. And sometimes that is what kind of hinders me from putting certain things out there, because every chemist has a way that they like to do things. Like, they might do it this way or that way. And I'm learning that in the industry, you know, working in it right now. What I might have read or learned upon learning the subject, the cosmetic science, might have been, you know, already 10 years ahead from what I read, because I'm mostly self-taught. So I just literally put my head in some books and highlighted and did what, you know, what we do in college and crammed and just had fun with it and taught myself and used the ingredients and learned as I went. And so, of course, some things that I know may not be, or what I think may not be, something that another chemist thinks. So that in itself has been very stressful with content creation. Having people that are also in the industry to, you know, kind of like confirm what I, you know, just learn from. And it's helped me. And also even having the job that I have as a full-time employee has helped me to feel a little bit more confident and, you know, like putting this content out there. That's been something that I've struggled with, like, is this right? And I second guess myself a lot. I'm like, let me make sure that I'm fact checking myself. And sometimes I even have to go back and edit things and make sure that I'm my thought process is thoroughly conveyed throughout this little tiny, you know.
I mean, it's admirable that you've taught yourself, because that in and of itself is, it's really freaking hard. And then the other thing is, you know, you're receptive to people's feedback, which is kind. You know, like there's some folks in our, not even in our industry, to be honest, but like adjacent to our industry that seem to post content that's very informative, but also like very authoritative. Like you're not the be all end all of this. And, you know, technology is evolving all the time. And a true scientist and a true analytical person will leave room for that. And so you're leaving room for like, okay, this is to the best of my knowledge right now what I would recommend, but I allow space for someone to provide, you know, additional dialogue, which is what collaborative chemistry and R&D is you give people room to give you feedback and have that discourse of like, okay, so maybe I would have done it this way. And maybe you would have, you know, found common ground. But I think that's what lacks in that space that you, I guess now what we're calling like the clean beauty space and like the quote unquote educated consumer space. I mean, it's also very easy to find anything on the internet that correlates with what you believe. It's really easy to have confirmation bias in the internet. So like you can always find something that makes sense and aligns with what you're looking for. That doesn't necessarily mean it's correct, but like allowing room for that level of education is what I'm loving about this community that we're developing as chemists, like not just you, but all the other folks that we've either had on the podcast or that we all follow. You're not like, I guess, because we've all experienced someone like judging our, I guess, ideas. Or even saying something about, or someone just being like degrading about like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I think we're so used to that, that we're like, we're already prepared for the argument. We're like ready to square up whenever necessary. The difference between, I think, how you guys, folks who are creating content in the cosmetic science space, is that you're allowing room for education and then allowing room for discourse. So you're not saying that I am literary genius of cosmetic science. You're allowing us to all be interactive. And that's how the community has been growing. I learned from your stuff. And then I learned from the curly chemists, and like, I'll find some other people that would be like, I didn't even think about that. Like I haven't used that in my lab, or I spoke to a raw material supplier about that. Like we can have that conversation without necessarily being in the lab. So I value that. I appreciate that. I thank you for even just allowing the space, because I've been asked this like on the podcast. They're like, why are you talking to folks who are your competitors? And I'm like, they're my community. They're my colleagues. Like I need to talk to them, because no one understands. This industry is so small, and even smaller for women, and even smaller for women of color. So like, I need them. They're like the only people that I can talk to that can relate to certain situations. You know, having that space has become such a wonderful place, just even to allow the discourse, allow the conversation, and then allow the community. So thank you very, very much for that. So at some point when you're so passionate about what we do, it's not about getting those $3,000 clients all the time. Yeah. Sometimes it's about just putting that foot in the door with that $35 ebook or something. Yeah. And then being the resource that they need to move forward. So like, I totally relate to just wanting to have that information accessible. And I absolutely would love to meet with you. Like, this is the community that I'm enjoying so much. And we've all, I like, it's been so cool that we've all become like remote friends. You're all friends in my head anyway. So yeah. And I think also like any information that we work on collaboratively, like sharing that with listeners or sharing that on YouTube or even social media, like there's so many other people out there that may be wanting to pursue a similar space. Like I want to do this on my own. I'm miserable where I am, or I'm ready to do it by myself. And like having that representation and having that person to go to and be like, hey, you did it. How in the world did you do it? Yeah. You know, is such a cool thing. Like I love Instagram for that, for even bringing us all together. Cause there was a time and place where I was like, I'm alone in a lot of what I'm experiencing.
I didn't know anybody did what I did until I started doing it. Honestly, I was the first one doing it. and then I met like a whole community of people who do the same exact thing. And I was like, oh, but have not had a chance to really get as much information because there are definitely some gatekeepers out there who are like, I don't want her to, you know, steal my business, or I don't want her to know something that, and I hate it because like, I can't be you. Only you can be you. And only I can be me. What I got going on over here is what I have going on. And I have nothing to do with like, I can't touch what you have going on. Literally, I don't want to touch with the, I would like us to all help each other so that we can one day be the next big contract manufacturer, the next big, you know, formulation R&D company or anything. And that's really why I started this business. The Chemically Demolined Lab wasn't even my first business idea. It kind of just fell on me and I just took it and I kept going with it.
I think there's just a lot of contradictory information and you do a good job of making it comical. And I think folks in the industry are like, I relate. And now you're making it funny. Folks who maybe aren't in the industry, what would you advise them to like, kind of like look for as like red flags?
Oh, there's a lot of red flags for that. So I was having this conversation just recently with some of my peers at work. I am against the animal testing claim. I'm against it. Mainly because up into a certain year, everything, every ingredient you can think of was tested on an animal. And even if you look at the SDSs and things, you'll even see that those, or even some things out there on, and you'll see that they say cause hair loss in mice or things like that. And that animal testing is the only reason why we know these things are safe, you know? And so it's very contradictory to say, oh, I want non-toxic things and this or that in my product and claim this, but it, as a cosmetic scientist, of course I know the truth behind things or we know the truth behind things. So like just seeing the chemical free, the preservative free, the clean beauty and the green beauty claims or industry has really made it very hard for chemists to even do their jobs. Being a chemist in this day and age is kind of like jumping through hoops and finding ways to jump through all the hoops that everybody's setting for us without knowing the real factual or scientific information behind these things that they're against, like silicone free. Oh my god! It drives me crazy because as a natural curly hair woman, as you can see, I have tremendous frizz. I have silicones are what keep me together, you know, in a way. And I promote silicones, you know. A lot of my clients are like, I want this moisturizing effect. I want this. I want this. But you don't want any silicones. And then you also don't want all these other things that can help because you want to be natural or as natural as possible, which I'm pro-natural, but there's a certain way to go about it, right? And I think it's time for the cosmetic chemists to start stepping up and being the influencers in this industry. And I think that is the only way that we can accurately get the correct information out there if we become the influencers. We know all of the things and we can actually put a little substance to the reviews and things like that. And so that's, you know, what I'm kind of against. I'm against the influencer driven consumer market that makes it harder for me to do my job. Like I have many clients come to me and they're like, I want this, I want that. And they're also against everything that does that, you know?
I have, you know, a similar field. Obviously I do more product development, but a lot of my job is to educate my customers and say, you know, we can say all of this in a wonderful space, in a marketing space. It's part, like I try to explain to them, you know, you're being sold a very lovely, well drawn out and very expensive story. Mm-hmm. As an R&D person, there's structural things that I have to include for efficacy. And a lot of my conversations in R&D with them is just weeding them through all the information that they think they know and giving them a very educated space so that they can make an educated decision. And a lot of it sometimes means like, I can make this product all day, any day with all the things and the restrictions that you want. Will it be effective? Absolutely not. Will it meet all of the claims you want? I can't promise you that. because there's a really big split between efficacy and what we are being marketed towards. And mm-hmm. even, you know, some of the brands, like you said, some of the brands that claim all of these things, they're using alternatives to the same thing with similar bases. Like, you know, there's some brands that'll say silicone free, but it doesn't mean that they don't have a specific type of silicone. They're just a specific type of silicone free, but you're reading it as a consumer and you think, well, I've never had silicones in my hair. And I can literally look through the aisle and be like, well, actually you're using three of them and you didn't know that you had three silicones. And that's why it feels so hydrating. And that's why it feels so luxurious. And like, you know, my first job was in hair care, in salon grade hair care. So like I can go into the science of it, and I try to put as many analogies as I can to explain to folks, especially curly haired folks, because I think for a long time we were told that the products we use are not good.
Yes.
Like having waxes, having silicones, you know, having things that create like a proper film, or like something that's quite tacky, or like having a gel based formula. I think people were telling us like, it's not good to use that in your hair, but there's been so much education now and so much evolution and innovation. There are so many new ingredients that are waxy tech that provide a great waxy hold, that mm-hmm. provide great slip with silicones. And like all of that is evolving. And I have to always remind my customers, like there's so many more options that we can lead you towards if you just give me the opportunity to like provide that information. Like I hate having a no list, but we have to, you know, just to kind of appease our clients. Yeah. But I hate providing that because it just means more homework for me to go back and be like, well, actually we would like to use this, especially like
I've actually never had that requested, but I just
I saw it, and I saw the civil suit that said I got my moldy ass lotion at home.
Yes,
Keisha on, but she calls it kitchen beauty. You know, they start in the kitchen with a concept, and you know they have a lot of innovation and a lot of stuff, but they have to also be receptive to providing efficacy. And I think that's what we're trying to teach a lot of folks who are entrepreneurs and not R&D, is that you can, you know, have a natural organic product and have all the claims you want, but that doesn't mean that your product is going to hold in retail. And that's why I think it's important for folks to lean on an R&D person and not necessarily fight us along the way, because it is a bit of a challenge to go back and forth with. I don't know if you've experienced it, but like it is a bit of work to go back and forth with your client and be like, I could do this all day long, but you're gonna hate it.
Yeah. One thing that I try to do with my clients is I just try to be, you know, upfront with them. And I tell them, you know, if I do think there's a way around something, I will try to do that. But if there's a way that I can't get around using an ingredient, you know, either we change the whole, like I can start all over and reformulate and try to find a way to achieve what you want. But it's going to take longer. It's going to take longer than it would have if I just use what I'm used to using. So, I saw that reaction on your face.
I'm going to address something else with you because I know that you're in the same industry and I want to talk about that.
Let's talk about it.
You just hit me where I live today. And
where I live.
Timeline. Mm-hmm. People rushing R&D is becoming the bane of my existence. I understand it in the corporate scope because we have all the resources available.
Yes, you have
work. Even that is annoying.
Yes.
But as much as I love my indie beauty folks, why are we all so eager for instant gratification with these R&D projects?
And then there's, oh, my hair started falling out and all these things. It's because you didn't, well, not saying that about my, but you probably were rushing that chemist, or you probably got it offline because you were in such a rush. You got that formulation offline and put it on the market without even knowing what you were actually putting on that market because you were in such a rush to make that gratification, that launch. And the chemistry is science, and it takes time, and it takes research and development. Honestly, somebody had to break it down to me because I was really in my feelings when I first started R&D. And I was like, I don't know a lot of stuff. Like, I need to learn more. And I was, you know, like feeling like I was going crazy because there was so much that I wanted to learn, so much that I needed to learn. And somebody really like that had been in the industry for a while, it told me one day, she was like, research and development is literally research and develop. You're learning. And then from that learning, you're developing. You're going to keep doing that as a research and development team. It's never going to stop. Yeah. It's going to be a road that you hit and you're going to be like, I've never seen this. Let me go and search and read and figure out what's going on so that I can fix this. Because when I first started, I was going crazy. It was like, oh, the stability, but stability testing, you know, I'm seeing this happen or this happen. It was some of the most simplest things that I was doing, you know, wrong that I could have changed, but I didn't have that mentor. I didn't have that access or, you know, I didn't know what to ask, honestly. Letting the clients know that this is science. There's really no time frame that I can put on this. I can try my best to get it done within this time frame, but based on what you want and based on what I'm, you know, what I encounter while formulating or going through the process, it can take a little bit longer and it can speed everything up. It really depends on that specific product type. And there's no set in stone time frame for science. It just kind of happens. And even the most seasoned chemists, I'm even learning it being in the industry. It's a lot they don't know. It's a lot that I ask at work and there's like, I don't know the answer to that, you know? Yeah. Or
well, because they're so broad. Cosmetics, the umbrella of cosmetics is hair care, skin care, personal care. If you think about the customization that we provide to folks, every hair tress is different. Every hair texture is different. Everybody's complexion, every scalp is different. So when you're looking for an experience, I might have a concept of what I think you're asking for, develop it into the sun, but we're going to always get some sort of feedback that brings us to a new space. And that's why it has to be collaborative. And that's why we have to allow room for things. And I struggle so much because I'm far too accommodating for my own good. And I've talked to Rachel about this, Nicole too. Like, they're always like, girl, you need to have a backbone. Like, they're so tough on me because I am just like,
okay. They were on me.
I was like, I'm okay. Like, it's all right. Yeah, I'll take care of that. Like all that shit. And I'm like, to the detriment of myself, right? Because now I'm chasing the clock and accommodating to these people that, you know, I really should just be honest with and say, like, this is outside of the scope of what you've requested or outside of the scope of what we're looking for. And it's just because I'm a fucking doormat. But, like, you know, remind them that there's a reason why you hired me for the skill. And like, you should trust my judgment when I say like, it's going to take longer or it has to go to micro. You can't skip micro. You can't skip stability. Like you said, you know, there's stuff that you encounter as we're working in specific beauty to a community like POCs. There's so much that I'm encountering because I never had to apply it so intensely before. Like, yes, I've worked with ethnic hair care. Yes, I've worked with, you know, different melanated skin and skincare. Like, I've done all of this in a very like minute space for corporate and for high retail.
Right.
But now, you know, it's under a much smaller microscope because now these people have like a cult following or there's a specific community that's looking for it, or, you know, there's more scrutiny on indie beauty than there is on bigger companies. So like when I'm finding these situations and I'm trying to translate them to consumers, they're always just like looking at the finish line. And my clients are always just looking at the finish line. And I'm like, do you know how long it took to put out a shampoo, a blue purple shampoo? Like, it didn't happen overnight. And I think folks think that just because there's constantly a new launch happening every 2 weeks, that's how quickly we can develop things.
They started almost a year or two before they even launched.
With a team of 12.
Yes, with a team of 12 helping to market and get, you know, ingredients together, decide what you know, way they go about the product. It's, and really being in the industry now, because I never had the opportunity until now to actually see what it was like to be in a corporate setting, a lab setting. I'm saying that it's just as much of a wild, wild west as what I'm doing with my own thing. I have seen that what I do is probably more control than my actual full-time job. And it's kind of put me into perspective, like I'm in the right space. I'm in the right place that I need to be. I'm learning. I've learned way more than people who have been doing this for years mm-hmm. have learned just from wanting to learn and putting myself in front of a book, in front of a course, in front of people that want to learn with me mm-hmm. Or teach me.
You have your practice. So it obviously took a long time. How do you manage your relationships when it comes to stuff like that? Like, I think I asked that about that in, with the influx of false information and like sharing clean beauty in the marketing space. How does it play a role in how you manage your client relationships and kind of like lead them in the right direction?
I'm not gonna lie. I'm in the same boat with you. That is something I'm learning. And I even have this, I have anxiety attacks about sending emails to explain the most simplest of the simple statements is that I don't have it together right now, but I am diligently working. I've been through 20 trials, probably. I've asked questions. I've read, and to say that to a client, it comes to am I kind of lowering my own authority as I'm telling this person this, because a lot of, when you think of a chemist, you think that they know a lot of things, you're supposed to know this, this is what you do. But R&D is something that you develop, you keep growing. Every project is a new learning experience. Every project is going to have different difficulties to get around. And, you got to wait for your crash test to even tell you what you have to, you need to do. So it takes time to hone in on the product. And I think that's why there aren't any product out there that people are pleased with, because they've been rushed. Probably they didn't take the time to sit and think, ooh, I could really add this and it'll spruce this up. So I'm definitely going through that as well. And my philosophy is honesty. When I feel myself having these anxiety attacks, I remember that I'm the formulator. If I could do something differently, I would. If I could speed it up, I would. If I could figure out this difficulty, I would. So I'm going to take this pressure off me. And I'm just going to be honest. And this is how I do it. I literally straight up tell them, hey, so during crash test, I saw some separation. I'm thinking that I probably either need to go up on this or go down on this, add this. I literally go through the whole thought process. That I've learned that what that does is let them know that I don't know what she does. I don't even know how to even touch what she does. So let me, I know she's working on it. She's letting me know she's working on it.
She has a plan. Yeah.
Yeah, she has a plan and she's trying to attack. And I found that that is somewhat of the best way to go about letting someone know, hey, I'm still having this issue. I don't have your project ready. Or just even if you want to use something that they're against, I come at them like, hey, so I have this ingredient in here and this ingredient somewhat requires this ingredient to make the product do what you want it to do. So either we can do this and lack on the type of sensory that you're looking for, or we can go this way and get everything that you're looking for. All it is that you kind of, drop this claim, and it's so simple, but they see it as like, but this is more money. If I have this claim on here, this is another person that I can reach, another market that I can reach. And this is bringing in another customer. And a lot of times I have to let them know, not every customer is going to be your customer. There's no way to make a product that's for everybody. There's no way.
I always refer to it as like, there's no magic pill for a reason. Like mm-hmm. I can't do it. Like there's no science behind the magic pill just yet. If it was there, someone would have already produced it. Right. But yeah, I think that's the best approach that we can honestly do, especially as independent folks. Like it's not asking a lot of a client. Just be open to the education. Like we mentioned in the beginning of this, be receptive to it, have a dialogue about it. Maybe you'll convince me otherwise. But at least we will have the space to talk about it. And then it alleviates, like you said, that anxiety, because I feel that a lot. I feel like I want to be so accommodating.
You want to be quality. Quality.
And this is detriment to myself too, because I know what's going to be effective. And I just have to lean on, like you said, that I, I'm the expert. This has been so much fun and I don't want it to end. So I definitely want to have you back. Thank you for joining us. This has been way too much fun. And some of our listeners will not know how much fun we've just had. So there's only two more questions I ask folks, and I think you actually might have answered one of them, but what's the best piece of advice you wish you could give your undergraduate self?
One, if there's something you want to get into it, teach yourself. If you can't find someone, there's books. Books are our teachers without a physical being, like a person. So get your, that's what I did. Get a book, start reading, start taking courses. Literally, if you want to get into a space, don't be scared to start. I started without knowing much of anything, and I grew into who I work. This is what I do on a day-to-day basis, just off the premises that I just started doing something. I started teaching myself, and never be afraid to take temporary jobs. There are temporary consultants, and that's actually how a lot of these manufacturing companies and a lot of big companies hire nowadays because of the turnover rate. So if you really want to get into an industry, especially the scientific industry or manufacturing industry in general, the best way to do that is through like Kelly Services, through Aerotech, through Life Sciences, through, there's so many different temporary consultant companies. They're looking for fresh people out of college to come in and basically get them to where they want to be. I mean, you're probably going to have to start small, but it's the end goal. I never thought I would be where I am working for the company that I'm working for, honestly, doing what I'm doing. I never saw this. I graduated in 2018, and 2022, 4 years later, I am now a formulation chemist when I didn't even go to school for it. For one, I went to school for forensic science. And I didn't even have this in the plans. It found me, and it found me through a temporary position. So always go look for those temporary positions, especially when you get out of school. You're going to jump from job. Most times you're going to jump job to job until you find what you like. And then you'll find that you like a certain, you know, place, and then you'll go from there. And that's all you should expect getting out of college. Don't expect to get out. Not everybody does, you know, gets out and make $90,000 or $100,000 or even freaking $40,000. So get out and do what you can. Any lab experience is lab experience. I started in a pet specimen diagnostic laboratory. It had nothing to do with my major, and it has nothing to do with what I do now. So just start and find every avenue. No avenue is you're too good for, especially when you're trying to get into the industry.
I never thought about that, but it's true. I think some people are opposed to hopping around from position to position, but it's actually a benefit for folks like us because we get to then touch different things. So like, you're not just working in soaps, you're working in, you know, like you end up working in different industries, and then you have that understanding. Yeah.
I worked in every industry you can think of: pharmaceutical, industrial, cosmetics. You know, I've worked in every industry just because I took a lot of contract positions within the span of 2 or 3 years. So.
But it's smart now because you have all these applied skills that you wouldn't have had otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last question I ask folks is, what's the best piece of professional advice you've ever received that you still live by?
Honestly, somebody just told me this. I'm a perfectionist and I care too much about my career. And even my manager is telling me this now. Your job is just your job. You have to find what drives you outside of work. A career is never going to fulfill your happiness. Once you get this $30,000, $50,000, you're going to want more. Once you get that $70,000, you're going to want more. So you find what you love. And then what's most important is find what you love outside of work. And because sometimes that can drive where you'll end up. That might be your business. That might be gives you $1 million in your pocket and you never knew because you loved it and it didn't feel like work. If you're miserable in your job now, one thing I do is I care less now. I have less energy for work, and I have more energy for myself. Whenever I feel myself getting ticked off at work, whenever I feel myself getting frustrated, whenever I feel that I'm not getting the outcome that I want, I care less. And I care more about me. So when I'm upset at somebody at work or something at work, what I do when I come home or even sometimes at work, I work on me and pushing whatever my lab, you know, pushing it to the next level. Whatever it is that you can do to invest in yourself, it's so much beneficial to do that when you're upset at work, because it'll keep that momentum to where you're not thinking about, oh, I'm upset, but you're thinking about, oh, I'm upset and this is what I'm doing because I want to get out of this place. So care a little less about your career, care a little more about your life. That will lead you wherever you need to be. And that's what I'm learning.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I can't say anything else to that. I think that's the best way to answer this, is making yourself the priority. Thank you again for joining us. I'm so glad we've been able to connect. Like I said, you've been a friend in my head for a long time. So I'm glad that now we've been able to connect. So where can we find you?
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, eventually YouTube as well. That's something I'm pushing on. You can find me at The Chemically Divine Lab on almost any platform, even Twitter. I'm trying to get on Twitter, but it's weird to be a cosmetic chemist and try to like talk. And so it's weird, but I'm getting on all these social media platforms, and I look forward to one day putting out material to show people what I do in the lab, formulating so I can explain and teach people, you know, for free. And then I also plan on putting out a e-course where I will take, you know, the entrepreneur business from literally start to finish, the idea of their business to finding a lab to send their samples to learning how to do their own stability testing and what equipment they will need. That is something I'm working on, and even having some base formulas, you know, chassis is what they call them. Yeah. In that course. So that's something you can look forward to from the Chemically Divine Lab and from me. So
it's funny how parallel we are, because I also graduated in 2018, similar terrain, similar drive. So yeah, I'm really happy that you have future plans for your business, because I think right now, given the following you've had, I can only imagine that you're going to receive so much more success. I think the only thing that I can say is just be patient, because clearly there's a light in you. There's a lot of amazing things coming your way. You already attract so much wonderful like energy your way that opportunities have to come to you. There's just no other option for the universe. So I'm really excited for everything you're doing. I'm so happy to have had you on the podcast. I can't wait to have you back.
Yeah, can't wait to be back. And in even a bigger position, you know, to give more knowledge. So
yeah, I think a lot of our listeners can take away so much from this conversation. And, you know, I appreciate it, because now I don't feel as alone and I don't feel like as much of a mess up. Like, I know that there's someone else out there.
And if you are a mess up, we're messed up together.
At least I have a sister in this, because, you know, it is tough and we're trying our best and we need each other. That's just it. So I appreciate everything.
And we have each other now.
Any question you have,
I don't mind answering any question. Like anything you need, I don't mind helping.
And I also have a new R&D chemist to contract with. So that's fun. thank you to all our listeners. Thank you again for joining us. We will see you in the next one.
See ya.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Thanks again for joining us on The Glam Chemist. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share these episodes. Also, follow us on Instagram and TikTok to see what's coming up next. Thanks again for being so supportive. It's been so cool to connect with you guys and see other folks in STEM get involved. I'll see you guys in the next one.